members, but it's nice to see you again in this capacity. And so welcome. And welcome to those of you in our audience. And with that, we will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 124. Jim?
Thank you, sir. Senate Bill 124A allows a public charter school applicant to request a waiver of charter school law from the State Board of Education. Requires applicant for a law waiver to notify the proposed sponsor and school district, if not the sponsor, of the waiver request at least 10 days prior to submitting the waiver application. Expands the options of the State Board of Education upon receiving a charter school application upon appeal to include directing the local school district board to reconsider the proposal within 60 days of receiving the reconsideration order. Declares an emergency effective July 1, 2003.
Okay. I see we have two people here, two folks here from the Department of Education, Joni Gillis and Steve Novick. Would you like to come up? We've got Lori W squared in the hole. Actually on deck, excuse me.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Steve Novick, Legislative Coordinator with the Department of Education. I will give the very simplistic version of this bill, and if you have any tough questions, Joni Gillis will have to handle them. This is essentially a housekeeping bill. It would allow applicants for charter school status to include requests for certain waivers in their application as opposed to having to become a charter school and then ask for the waivers afterwards. And it would also allow the state board, when it's reviewing an appeal of a decision to deny a charter school application, to have the option of asking the school district to reconsider the issue and make sure that it's considered all the appropriate factors and send it back up to the board. Right now, officially, the board only has the authority to say, we overturn the denial and instruct you to, and we create a charter school, or we uphold the denial. There's going to be some instances where a school district has not really adequately considered all the statutory factors and has just said, well, this will cost us money, so we don't like it. And rather than proceeding on the basis of an incomplete record, the board would like to have the opportunity in those cases to send it back and say, hey, develop this reasoning a bit more for us.
Okay. Johnny? You're here to support Steve?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Representative Backman.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Nolan.
How often have you had requests such as this bill envisions, and what has been the handling of those requests? What's been the disposition?
Representative Backland, Representative Nolan, in terms of the waiving the application, or excuse me, asking the state board to waive a certain statutory requirement, we have had about seven requests to have a part of the statute waived, and we've because the statute says they have to be charter schools, but the charter can't be approved until the waiver request is approved. We've kind of we've done it simultaneously, so we figured out a way to allow that to happen at the state board level, and so that's what request that the first part of this request is to just kind of put it in statute. That allows the applicant, not just the charter school. So there have been about seven.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
And what have been the subjects of those seven requests?
Representative Backlund, Representative Nolan. The most common one has been a out of district to allow a charter school to have over 20% students from out of district. And the other ones have been, if it's been an alternative program that is converting to charter school status, they've asked to have those students be allowed to be grandfathered in to the charter school.
If I might continue,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair.
Please.
Mm-hmm. Does the board have rules that guide its deliberations on when it is appropriate for the board to substitute its judgment for the legislature?
Representative Backland, Representative Nolan, no, I do not believe that they do.
Follow up?
Mm-hmm. Follow up.
In the absence of rules, what basis does the board use for determining whether it wants to override a statute?
Representative Backlund, Representative Noland, there are what we call the unwaivables in the ORS 338. There's a list of about, I believe, 14 or 15 that the statute says these cannot be waived by the state board. And then any other part of ORS 338 can be waived by the state board.
So, follow up, if I may. So what I'm hearing you say is, unless the legislature in statute said, we really mean this, the board has taken it to be within its purview to say, I guess you didn't really mean this. And I'm trying to, because if we put it in statute, I'm inclined to think that the legislature meant that we wanted it to apply in all circumstances statewide to all charter schools. So I'm struggling to determine what criteria the board would use to say this particular situation is so different than the others that it warrants a waiver of a policy that was intended to be across the board.
And Representative Backlund, Representative Nolan, I believe I was not involved in the creation or the writing of the statute, but I believe that anything that had to do with health and safety kinds of issues, with federal law, with civil rights, with those kinds of things were considered unwaivable, and that is the one, I believe it was one of the I don't know if it was compromises or whatever, that there was a lot of flexibility with other pieces of that legislation. And I can get the exact language in the statute that talks about the state board's I guess authority to waive everything else that is other than the unwaivables. I don't have it with me, but I can certainly get that.
Okay. Except I'm going to be voting on this probably today.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Ockin.
One of those sections that you would consider waivable would be, or more than one section, I guess, those that limit the number of students that can be in a charter school or the number of schools within a district that can be charter schools, correct?
Representative Backlund, Representative Ockin, yes, that is waivable.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Mr. Chair, Representative Nolan, this bill would not expand the number of provisions which would be waivable. It addresses a matter of timing when the board can make that decision. So I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Laurie Wimmer Whalen, please.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, Lori Wimmer Whalen with the Oregon Education Association, representing 44,000 public school teachers and community college faculty and also classified personnel. We are here to support the A2 amendments to Senate Bill 124, which were it was actually the same language that you saw earlier in this session in House Bill 2509, which the chair kindly sponsored for us, that would retain the cap that you just heard about, the 20% out-of-district piece, and reinstate the 10% of total number of students inside any school district who could attend a charter school inside the district. Those two provisions are meant to help districts cope with the financial crisis and general financial administration of public education, given the pressures that charter schools necessarily provide with respect to the financial administration of school districts. And I've handed out for you a recent article in the New York Times that addresses this issue. Those states that have had charter schools longer than ours, similar kinds of charter school laws, are right now coping with the uninhibited, expansion of the charter schools into the more affluent suburbs, as it turns out, it's beyond just the urban or rural thing. And what's happening in a lot of the communities in those states is that charter schools without any kinds of caps or constraints are in fact getting first place in line, if you will, with respect to the allocation of resources in those states. And it's becoming something of a crisis. And we were trying to be a little bit preemptive about that here in Oregon. In crafting the charter school law in 1999, as you all know, the caps were put in as a way of doing just that, controlling the expansion of the programs beyond the ability of districts to manage. And we thought that they were a good enough idea that they ought to be retained. We therefore asked for House Bill 2509, which hit an unanticipated impediment. And so we thought we'd try again by hitchhiking on this housekeeping bill with the assent of everybody involved, we thought at the time, including the sponsors, the requesters of the bill, and the majority of this committee. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I see no one else signed up to testify, so we will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 124. And committee, we are not going to go to work session today. We're going to let this sit for a little while. And with that, we will move to the possible reconsideration of House Bill 3171. Jim?
Yes, sir.
Collecting your materials?
I am.
Okay. Sorry.
House Bill 3171, when it was originally passed from the committee, we had requested that the referral to Ways and Means be rescinded. When the fiscal came back, it exceeded the $50,000 cap at $67,607. So it was back to us to reconsider our vote and send it to Ways and Means.
Okay. Thank you. So we need to go to work session here, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, we will move to work session on House Bill 3171. The chair requests unanimous consent that the rules be suspended and reconsideration of House Bill 3171 be taken up immediately. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair requests unanimous consent that the motion on House Bill 3171 to do pass as amended be printed and grossed and rescind the subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means be reconsidered. Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. We would need to adopt the dash 2 first. Representative Hobson?
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3171. And move House Bill 3171 to the Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Representative Hobson. Representative Hobson moves House Bill 3171 to due pass as amended, be printed and grossed, and then the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Have we amended it yet?
Aren't those separate actions? Amend it first and then move it over.
I think maybe that's right. Excuse me. I'm so anxious to read my script, I didn't do very well.
Let's rewind, Mr. Chair.
All right. Let's do the rewind. Yes.
I recommend the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3171, please.
Representative Hobson moves that we adopt the dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3171. Discussion. That was so complicated. Any objection? So ordered. Representative Hobson.
No, Mr. Chair. I move House Bill 3171 as amended with a due pass recommendation to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. And you need to put in prior reference.
I move it to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Okay, thank you, Representative. Between the two of us, we'll get this right eventually. Representative Hobson moves House Bill 3171 to do pass as amended, be printed and grossed, and then to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Discussion.
I have an objection to the complexity of this procedure.
Representative, you may have a point. We've only had a lot of weeks to practice this, and we're still struggling, I think, but I will do the best we can. Okay, other discussion? Gina, call the roll, please.
Aye.
Representative Delta?
Aye.
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 Aye. Having received the constitutional majority, the motion is passed. Okay, keep going. Goodness gracious. Committee, this is embarrassing. We're in and out. It's like a burger place. With that, then, we'll close the meeting on the House Bill 3171, and we'll close the meeting. We might have a meeting by Friday.